to the Valley Outdoors, everyone. Glad to have you guys with us. You know, Don, it's always fun to have you wander around and you hear people listen to the show. It's amazing how many listen to the show. It's fantastic.
That's why we do it.
Oh, speaking of the show, glad to have you back with us again.
Yeah, thanks.
We were wondering if you're
everybody
not
notices.
Here.
I'm very glad to be here this week.
Ava's here. It's going to be good. Hey, and we have got a jam-packed show, guys. We are going to be talking, and if you've listened to the show before, we talked a lot about the Mille Lacs area issue, the regulations, and we've got Jason Barr. He's a member of the Mille Lacs area Fishing Advisory Council. He's going to be on here. We're going to talk a little about walleye baits. We got a lot going on. Stay tuned. More Valley Outdoors coming right up. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
Avid outdoorsmen know that heading to the field without all the advantages, not a good idea. Most importantly, a stable shooting platform. Having the right platform can be critical to success. Field Optics Research is the industry leader, offering the most advanced, lightest, and stable tripods on the market. It's stability you need when that once-in-a-lifetime shot is in your crosshairs. Field Optics, the ultimate tripod for hunting, shooting, long-range precision shooting, spotting scopes, and outdoor photography.
Links to Field Research Optics available on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Good to see you, Don.
Yeah, it's good to be seen.
Ava?
I'm here, always.
President accounted for?
Yes. Ready for 4th of July weekend.
Festivities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of an exciting time frame. You the tough part is when you go to work today, it's like, okay, is it Wednesday really? Or, you know, you have to plan for the wrap up of the week and get whatever work done.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's just kind of a funky.
Well, and in radio, the work doesn't go away.
No.
So you just have to do the same amount of work in a short amount of time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But I'm not going to argue. Temperatures have been fantastic. I know, Don, mm-hmm. you were talking about the weather when you up north. The water temperatures are definitely down. But you know what? All in all, a lot of rain. Yep, we know that. The river's just beyond crazy. It's supposed to peak at 16. And of course,
we're receding at this point, though.
Yeah, well, and we're getting more rain and much more rain in the forecast. So who knows? But one thing I missed, and I was very remiss in talking about it, I went to Port Washington last week, and we did a wounded veterans event, and it was just amazing. You had three buses worth of wounded vets coming from Milwaukee that come up for this event, and I bet there were, I don't know, man, there's probably 35, 40 boats.
Okay.
And, you know, everybody, and I'm talking.
Everybody volunteers.
Bigger boats. Yeah. I mean, you know, ours is, you know, a 34 footer. We could take more people. We had Terry Middlestadt. He was a wounded Vietnam vet, and he was wheelchair. And these guys, they had the rugby team, high school rugby team.
Oh, yeah.
They had four guys in the boat and then four guys on the dock, and they just lifted him, and he had to be 360, 370.
Oh, my.
They lifted him and the wheelchair right up over the gunwale, over the side, into the boat, and set him down just perfectly. I'm like, wow.
That's nice.
That was fantastic. And originally, the weather was supposed to be bad, so I actually canceled my vacation. And then I find out the day before, the weather did a complete 180, reinstated my day. Instead of taking 2 days, I took one, zoomed out there on Tuesday, and we headed out, and he got in the boat. Well, the funny part was he saw the boat coming around the corner. He wasn't sure who was driving what, and he saw us, and he got this huge smile on his face. He's like,
you guys, this is the most amazing thing I have ever seen. And he gets in the boat. He's like, I can't believe this. This is unbelievable. We get out there. We're trolling, but not even 10 minutes, and we get a steelhead on. And it gave him a tussle. And we got a lake trout. That was the second place. He got second place for lake trout. And that one was just tugging, you know. And talk about a smile on his face. It was such a rewarding thing. And I've done a number of these things, whether it was with the FLW in past years. We took a guy that was in Iraq and blown up in a Humvee, one of the IED. And this was just, it was cool. He's like, come here, man. I come over to him, he hugs me, you know, this big bear hug. And it was just a really cool event. And regardless of where, you know, that you're at and if it's an event related or not, if you have a chance to take out a vet, a wounded vet or otherwise, you know what, they've given a lot. And the old saying is some gave most and some gave all, or I forget the actual terminology, but many gave a lot and some gave all. So realistically, you know, what we can do for them is simply give back in some way, shape, or form. And the gratitude was nothing less than incredible. So pretty cool event. Got to thank the Port Washington Marina and Paul Fabian for really putting that on and organizing and pushing a lot of people to come out and do it. And it ended up, Terry ended up reeling in 5 fish.
Nice.
And the previous year he got 1. He did well with it, but this year he got 5, and he's like, I can't believe this. And it comes.
How much time were you on the water?
3 hours.
Okay.
And didn't get out until 9 or 8, yeah, almost 9 o'clock. So the head of the key bite was not even going. And, you know, we just took off and kind of headed away from the pack. And, you know, we got some lake trout and we pulled to the dock, or not even before the dock. He's like, let me see that cooler. So we tip the cooler up, and he just get this big old grin in his face. Then we get to the dock, and apparently he was one of the popular guys because, hey, Terry's back. How'd you do, Terry? He's like, yeah. He's coming in the marina. Everybody says, yeah, I got it. You know, he's yelling to everybody he can. And, of course, I'm driving. I can't tell what's going on back to back. But he pulls into the dock, and everybody was cheering him on. And we flipped the cooler to the tip, and everybody's like, oh, no way, and they're taking pictures. And so, yeah, it was a good event. It was an amazing event. And being able to give back was a pretty cool deal.
That'd be rewarding.
And it definitely was. So kudos to those guys. And, of course, any of the vets and wounded vets, we appreciate and thank you for your service. It's always a big deal. So tell you what, we've got coming up as I've been kind of a champion of this, and Don kind of gives me grief a little bit, but the Mille Lacs and the limits that have been imposed in a lot of these areas are kind of shocking to me, and how the regulations are imposed. And in the past, there's not much question about it, but this time it's a little different story. And we've got Jason Barr as a member of the Mille Lacs Area Fisheries Advisory Committee, who wrote a really interesting letter to the DNR, and we're going to have him on. We're going to talk about that. And he has some, if you've read the article, he's got some tidbits coming up that had not been published yet. So you're going to want to listen. Hang tight. More Valley Outdoors coming right up. Welcome back, everybody, and we always like to have you guys check us out on where, Donald?
On thevalleyoutdoors.com.
And Ava?
Facebook as well.
Absolutely. Our website is so cool, the interactive aspect of it. You hear us talk about it all the time. You want to go somewhere, click on it. It'll click to the DNR websites to find out where and what is going on in your area, regulations, etc., etc. And a person that we've got coming on right now, Jason Barr, he is no stranger to the regulation issues around the state, but specifically in Mille Lacs. He's also the owner of Tuts Bait and Tackle, and we've known each other, but haven't known that we've known each other for quite some time. And love to have you on, Jason. This is great. I know it's a last-minute get, but really appreciate you coming on.
Hey, thanks, guys. I'm excited, and I do love talking about Mille Lacs. It's where we drive our income, so it's really important. And there's some things that I think your listeners need to know, kind of what's going on, and yep. I believe we can offer some pretty good insight on some of that.
Well, here's the deal, and this is how it kind of set up, and I was looking at this the other day. You had written a letter, and it was highlighted, I believe, in Outdoor News or one of the other publications that came out. And it's titled, the article was titled, Two Sides to the Current Mille Lacs Walleye Fishing Regulations. And the reason I bring this up is, if you have a chance, it's a great read. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. But what happened was Jason, and we had alluded to it earlier, there was the regulation on Mille Lacs said no fish until August something like 16 or 15. And it was based on a lot of different factors, but one factor was the catch rate from this last winter's ice fishing was so high that they needed to cut the regulations to nothing and then go to one possibly in August. Well, as we had picked up on, we had talked about it and said, how could that possibly be? There was no take. There was hardly anybody ice fishing. There wasn't any ice. I mean, anybody that went to Red Lake was floating away.
Is there any statistics as how many actual days there's ice on the lake this year?
I don't know. Jason, did you see anything about that? How many days that there were actually ice covered on Mille Lacs?
You know, not specific as far as days go, but I will say that in the end of December, we had an open water walleye contest. Because some guys were pushing their boats out onto Mille Lacs. And so it was a very, very short season. And the season we did have, there was literally no vehicle traffic. You know, so guys that were getting out were, you know, going out on four-wheelers and snowmobiles and things like that. So,
but it was extremely limited to compared to past years, like a minuscule amount of people going out comparatively. So to setting the table, that's what's going on. So Jason sent a letter, Don, to the DNR, as well as it raised the ire of MinFish, which Ron Shera, Al Lindner, Bay Winkleman, that group of people higher up in the media side of things also were, shall we say, we talked about that a little bit too. Yep. They're like, wait a minute, we're going to write a letter to the DNR saying something's messed up. And so the letter went to, and I'll start it off and say, Dear Minnesota DNR, take it away, Jason. What exactly transpired? Fill everybody in on how that went.
Yeah, so, you know, it's kind of funny. We just touched on the winter thing, and what's shocking is in December, there was ice down in the southern bays. And those in those bays produced 15,000 angler hours. Okay, so 15,000 angler hours. An angler hour is how much time. If me and you go fishing on the lake for 3 hours, that'll be six angler hours. The two of us for 3 hours. And so in December there was 15,000 angler hours that produced seven keeper walleyes. Okay. Which is kind of funny in its own right. You can go on any of the social media pages of resorts like Beachside or wherever and see that many more than seven were caught, but that was the number. And then something happened on the lake, and the bite completely turned around, and then everybody was catching a keeper walleye. And one of the things that got us a little bit was this catchability rate. The catchability rate is how often or how easy it is to catch a walleye. Well, what they did is they looked at the creel numbers and they said, okay, well, look it. We've got this many angler hours and this is how many fish are catching. But what they don't take into consideration is on a normal year, me, my wife, my son Johnny, and my daughter Julie go out to Mille Lacs and we camp out there for 3 full days, okay, in my fish house. We camp out there and we run our radio, we run a generator. We drive around. We do all these things, and we don't really catch them. You know, we catch a couple fish, and we're okay with that. We're not really fishing. We're out there. We're ice camping, and that's what we're doing. And that happens all over the place. There's literally thousands of fish houses on the lake every weekend. Well, this year, the guys who are going out there are my two employees, for example, who went out there quite a bit. They go out there with a snowmobile or four-wheeler. They run forward-facing sonar, good electronics. They go prime-time bites, so they go out there for 2 to 3 hours during the best bite window. And they catch, say, 15 walleyes. So, of course, the catch rate is going to be high, right? Because that is the type of angler that is going onto the lake. But we don't take that into consideration because who knows why. That's just the way we do things. But that's kind of how it all started. That's what got us in trouble was that. And so one of the things I've learned through this process, and I do sit on the MILFAC board, which is the board of the DNR, of citizens that, you know, report to the DNR, and we try to make changes. And one thing I've learned very clear is you cannot change the numbers. And what I mean by that, you cannot change netting results from their numbers. So if I go out there and I see hundreds or thousands of walleyes on forward-facing sonar, and I say, hey, you know what, guys? There is not a decline in numbers. There is a ton of fish out there. You guys just aren't catching them. That's irrelevant, okay? That doesn't matter because you're not going to change the number. And so what you can look at is you can look at projections. And in their models for this season, the summer season, they put in a 10% increase in angling pressure. And the reason they did that, they said that the bite was going to be so phenomenal for everyone this year that everybody was going to go to Mille Lacs Lake. Okay. And I took, I take a big issue with that. If you look back to last year, and if you're local or in an area, you know that A, we had very few rain days. We had very few wind days. The weather was perfect. As I mentioned, we were fishing in our boats well into December. It was an abnormal year is getting out on the water. And so, A, you put on this regulation that says, A, you can't keep any walleyes, and B, you're going over a nearly perfect season weather-wise, and you plug in a 10% increase, okay? Why? Why do we do that?
Exactly.
So when we did that, our number is 91,500 pounds. Okay?
And that's what's called the safe take rate for the hook and line angler.
For the anglers, exactly. And what is included in our number is hooking mortality.
Yep.
And we'll get to that because that's another baffling thing. But so in that model, with a 10% increase in angling pressure and the walleyes biting twice as good as they did in 2022, in that model, we came to 95,000 pounds, okay? So we missed keeping a walleye by literally 3,500 pounds. Have they looked at the pressure, the angler pressure increase, and said, you know, maybe it's only going to be 6%, or maybe we're going to be flat. Whatever they do, we get a keeper. But for whatever reason, we didn't do that. So that are the numbers that you can look at, and you can say, guys, you know what? Let's hit the brakes. Your projections are wrong.
Now, let me interrupt for 1 second. So the important thing here that we have to keep in mind, Mille Lacs right now is a zero take until the middle of August. That's one thing. Mm-hmm. The most important thing is whether you say, I mean, Don, you're catch and release, right? The problem is if people can't keep a fish, they will go somewhere else. That's just a plain and simple fact of business. They don't go to the resorts. They won't stay eat at the restaurants. They won't do any of that. They're going to go someplace else. So
you got it.
That's
and Eric. What if you're an angler? You're an angler in Oklahoma, okay? And you do this guy's trip every year, and you're looking at planning a trip to go catch some walleyes. And all of a sudden the DNR releases this and they said, hey, you know what? We've got a decrease in walleyes in our lake and there's such a decrease that you can't keep any. Are you coming to Mille Lacs Lake? Are you coming to Minnesota? You're not coming. You're going to go to Fort Peck. You're going to go over to Erie, Green Bay, wherever it is, but you're not coming to Mille Lacs Lake.
Yep. And that's really the whole thing behind this. Is that, I think, you know, to me, it's a glaring error. Well, you and I talked about it, Don. 15,000 angling hours and 7 walleyes?
Well, obviously there's something wrong with that calculation.
But. You know, we had Tony Roach on earlier, Jason, earlier this year, and he was talking about it. He was using forward-facing sonar, and at the same time the guys were netting, he said, I don't know what you guys are doing, but you're checking the wrong time of year and you're netting in the wrong places. And I asked Tom Landwehr that a number of years ago. I said, Tom, are you netting the same exact places? And he said, well, absolutely. And I thought, well, there's the error right there. The fish have changed. That fishing, that body of water, the fish will change. They will. It's an evolution that the lake will go through. There are a lot of weed walleyes that changed that a lot. It's changed in their, it's not like, oh, the fish are going to be on boot flat. Or, you know, it's not like they're always going to be at that spot at that time of year because the water in last year was warmer than it was. So you're going to have different areas those fish are going to hang out in. So we move forward
right
now.
And that was part of the, you know, all of these things go into the equation, right? And one of the things that went into this equation was the walleyes that they netted were skinny. The walleyes they netted in their shallow nets were skinny. And I'll quote the Star Tribune, who quoted the DNR that said, prevalently skinny walleyes. Well, what's hilarious about that, they set their nets in 74-degree water. So, yes, the walleyes up in your netting areas, your shallow netting areas, are skinny. They're unhealthy walleyes. They're up there looking for crayfish. They're not out on the mud. They're not out in the gravel, deeper water, chasing tulipies.
Exactly.
And perch. They're eating crayfish. They're not your – but to use that as a sample size – and then to say, hey, you know what, this catch rate is going to be off the books because these walleyes are skinny, it didn't happen. I remember 2019. 2019, you could catch a walleye on topwater bait. Those fish were skinny.
Yep,
those
they were eating anything.
Yeah, and they're not there. They're just simply not there. But yet, in the model, we have our catch rates similar to 2019, which is just another thing that is pretty baffling.
So again, what we want to do is encourage you guys to go check it out. Just punch in two sides to the current Mille Lacs walleye fishing regulations to get the background and the history. We've covered kind of the background stuff. We've covered there is the back and forth with Jason and the DNR in this particular conversation, the letter that you wrote. And you got something else for us that you need a little bit of an update. Fill us in.
Yeah. So actually, that'll be same thing. You're going to do a follow-up article. And, you know, not surprising to my letter, I got a response. And since in between those letters, we got some updated information. And so literally, we are down 35% in angling hours in angler pressure. Okay, 35%. They forecasted 10%.
Higher.
We're down, 10% higher, and we're down 35%. That doesn't even include June numbers. So what I've been trying to tell the, and I can't tell the DNR anything, but I can, I can say, hey, you know what? Why aren't we doing this? We're saying, look at June. Look how many wind days, how many rain days are. Do you still believe that we're going to have this increase in angling pressure? And the answer is no. Everybody with any common sense at all knows that that is not going to happen.
Well,
and
Jason,
so what's going to happen this year?
The biggest impact is the opener of fishing is one of the biggest impact days. You have the largest number influx of people to go out on the body of water, any body of water in the state of Minnesota. And if you don't get that, which we didn't have a big impact on the opener, what do you get?
Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Exactly. You get crickets.
And so what do we get instead of opener fishing, Memorial Weekend, July 4th? We get August 16th. We'll look at it. Guess what?
Season's over.
Nobody cares about August 16th. The state fair is going on. Kids are back in college. Kids are getting ready for school. Family vacations are done. And the Minnesota DNR is very aware of that. But that's what we get. We get August 16th. There's not a business on the lake that thinks that their regulation change on that date has any impact whatsoever.
Any positive impact, yeah. So Reason at this point, we got about a minute and a half left. So realistically, what do you think is going to be the, do you think you're going to get any response from them after this last commentary that you had?
So the response I am going to get, which I think is, I'm excited for this. I'm going to get Brad Parsons and Brian Newbon in my store. Okay. And they've agreed to it. They've agreed to come. And they're going to listen to people. They're going to listen to actual anglers who either are A, going to Mille Lacs to fish, or B, not going to Mille Lacs because of the regulation.
Perfect.
And there is a huge set of people who say, I am not going to Mille Lacs because I cannot keep a walleye. It's just a fact. And
no,
that's
it
the,
is.
You know, and I don't necessarily agree with it. I like to go set the hook. I don't care if I can eat one or not. If I need one, I'll go to the grocery store and I'll buy one. I don't want to clean it anyways. I just want to go set the hook.
Yeah.
But there's a huge problem with that where, you know what, especially the guys who have fished for a long time, you know? I mean, when I was a kid,
and that's
my
me.
Old man.
My dad and friends have gone out. Well, we'll tell you what, Jason, we're going to keep updated as to what's going on with this. I can't thank you enough for coming on and talking about this from the educated aspect of it. Granted, there's a lot of things that it could go either way, and it could go sideways, but I appreciate your honest opinion, and it really helped us a lot. So I appreciate it.
I will keep you guys posted as I know more.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Well, you know what, guys? For Don, Ava, and myself, we are the Valley Outdoors. Thanks, Jason, for coming on, and we will see you next week. I hope everybody has a great, safe 4th of July weekend. See ya.